Stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live. But first, here's our Denver Bible Church update with a sermon excerpt from this week.
So Jesus encouraged his disciples by telling them of their awesome place in history. What a wonderful time. Imagine that intimate discussion between them. And what could spoil such a wonderful moment? Well, how about a lawyer? So verse 25, now enter the lawyer. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, What is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So the lawyer answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, as lawyers often do, he pegged it. He knew the law. He can quote it, jot and tittle. And he got it right so far. Verse 28, Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But, as is so common to lawyers, this one could not accept the truth. And so he challenged the Lord. Verse 29, But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? The law says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But he says, who is my neighbor? He became a smart aleck. If only he had stopped, pondered the words of the Lord, followed him, gave himself over to loving God, and God would help him to love his neighbor. But instead, this lawyer sought to justify himself, pointing out that the command to love your neighbor was actually rather ambiguous and limited, in fact. For you'd have to first look up the word neighbor in Black's Law Dictionary. And you'd find out that I don't have to love you or my coworker or that man in the street, because according to the standard dictionaries and the relevant precedents, since the land on which said person's domicile does not border adjacent to my real property, therefore, technically, you do not qualify as my neighbor. That sounds like a lawyer. Are there any public right-of-ways separating your property from the guy who lives closest to you? That's not your neighbor. When you come right down to it, the number of people whom you can designate as a neighbor can be very few indeed, perhaps even as many as zero. Thus, the obligation attendant to a party who qualifies as neighbor may in fact be non-existent, depending upon many particulars. And so the lawyer justified himself, as lawyers so readily do, with the relevant and jurisdictional question, and who is my neighbor? Really, who is your neighbor? Okay, Jesus will take that one on. He's good at that. Verse 30, then Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Notice this priest came down the road by chance. Isn't that interesting? Not by eternal decree. Not by God's command from before the foundation of the earth, but by chance. Yes, this is just a parable. And yes, some details of a parable just fill in the story. But Jesus here is saying something that would be anathema to those who believe that everything is predestined.
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us this Sunday at 6200 West Hampton, that's near Hampton and Wadsworth. You can call us for directions at 303-463-1707 or go to denverbiblechurch.org on the web. That's the easiest way. You get a map, get directions from different parts of town. So that's denverbiblechurch.org or 303-463-1707. And now, stay tuned for Bob and Yurt Live.
One warning, there's truth overhead. It
brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyard, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Was it a couple nights ago I told you that someone had mailed in an article in the Indianapolis Star about a play, a Broadway play that won a Tony Award? The playwright is a Pulitzer Prize winner, and the play is about a man who has a married man who ends up having an affair with not another woman, not a man, but with a goat, literally. And the whole play is about a man that has sexual relations with a goat. And here's an article in the Indianapolis Star that without challenging the actors or the producers of the play, just presents their argument that this whole thing is totally acceptable and really what's so bad about bestiality anyway. And as we talked, so we're going to talk about that. And then also we were thinking of taking our kids to see Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. This is a holiday week coming up. And we went on the internet at screenit.com where you could find out what's in a movie before you go so that you could avoid the bad stuff, which most movies are bad stuff. And I'm going to read to you examples of what's in Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat, and you'll see why we've decided we are not going to go to see that movie. I think screenit.com is just a fabulous website. And here in the News of the Weird, which is published all over the country, it's edited together by Chuck Shepard in Florida, and newspapers around the country print his weekly column. The News of the Weird, this is headlined, "The F Word Not So Bad Anymore on Broadcast TV," and the Federal Communications Commission ruled in October that the F word is fine as long as it's used in certain contexts. So our society, of course, is falling apart. And then I've got here four headlines. The top four stories from WorldNet Daily were all about just unbelievable. Former teacher convicted of raping a student, 17-year-old student. Elementary teacher gets 12 years on sex charges. Teacher gets 3 years on child porn charges. And teen girl suspended for sexual behavior in the class or in the school. So anyway, that was the top four stories the day that the Massachusetts Supreme Court ruled that homosexuals should be allowed to be married in their state. But at any rate, let's start out with the review of Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. And so you tell me whether or not you think we're overreacting when we're saying we're not going to go see it. We're not going to bring our kids to go see it. Okay. Now, and you know, quite often I don't like to, when we have stories of sex crimes, for example, I shy away from describing in any kind of detail at all, even giving a general idea of details. We don't do that at Bob and Yurt Live and at Denver Bible Church. We stay far away from that. And this here is, this is an R-rated movie. It's not, Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat for kids. So surely this can't be too bad. But to tell you the truth, as I'm deciding what to read here and what not to read, I'm really conflicted about it. Because I feel like normally I would never say these things on the air. It's a couple of these things. But I think I'm going to get yelled at by some of my wisest friends. But I think I'm going to say it because then you could decide whether or not kids should see this movie and whether we made the right decision or not and deciding we're not taking our kids to see the movie. All right, so Dr. Seuss, The Cat in the Hat. Here's what you find at screenit.com when you look up that movie. Here's quotes or scenes from the movie. One quote is one of the characters says to another, "You snot-nosed son of a," and then was interrupted by an adult, so couldn't finish. "You snot-nosed son of a," interruption. Somebody says Judas Priest. Somebody says nobody likes a suck-up. Somebody says you're not just wrong, you're stupid and ugly like your mother. Somebody says, "Oh my God." Sort of even more mocking than "Oh my God," right? Liberals think we've evolved from fish in the sea, so we came from fish, so fish are our creator. So, "Oh my God." And if instead of a typical four-letter word for human excrement, they were in the fish thing, so they said shrimp poo. Shrimp poo. And then the cat said, at one point in the movie, says, "You dirty hoe," saying hoe for the word whore. It's a wordplay on whore. And he's speaking about a garden tool. He's speaking to a garden tool or about a garden tool, but he calls the garden tool, "You dirty hoe." Obviously, you know, the intentional, all right, wordplay there. And then there's an incomplete statement. "What the," and then just, it's incomplete. "What the," and then, you know, the kids in the audience, the adults, you fill in the blank. "What the." What else? Conrad, one of the characters in Dr. Seuss' Cat in the Hat, is going to prepare some kind of a costume. And to do that, he pours out food and the contents of drawers onto the floor. And then he uses all that stuff to assemble his costume. And he takes a loaf of bread and stuffs it down the front of his pants. The same character licks his palm and then tries to wipe it on Sally, so she slapped his arm. The cat scratches his backside. Lawrence picks his nose. Now, of course, you'll get young kids to laugh. If that happens 50 times in a movie, they'll laugh each time. And when I say young kids, I mean up to 17 years of age. That's just an automatic laugh. If they burp, pass gas, any kind of bathroom, you guarantee there's 40 million kids in the country that will laugh. Let's see, what else here? The cat in one scene, it implies that he has piercings in his face. Let's see. The cat, after seeing a toilet with flames coming out of it, the cat says something like, "That really burns my app," but doesn't complete the sentence. This is in a kid's movie, right? Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat. Let's see. The woman in the show, of course, shows a cleavage repeatedly with the wearing a low-cut dress. Of course, right? Because it's for kids, the movie. Let's see. What else here? Well, this is the absolute... Well, we have the cat dressed like a woman. And the cat... Isn't the cat... Now, they've been saying the name of the actor who played the cat in the news this week. And I didn't recognize it, but I just put together from what was said today. He must be the guy in those movies. Mike, what's his name? The actor, comedian, Mike. Oh, I forget right now. But anyway, he's an actor that does raw sexual comedy. Mike somebody or other. Mike Myers. Mike Myers. And he does those, the spy versus spy. Austin Powers movies. Okay, so he's the Cat in the Hat. Isn't that perfect casting? If you were casting the Cat in the Hat, wouldn't you cast him? It used to be we had stars like Dick Van Dyke to appear in kids' movies. Today, you got to choose from lesbians, perverts. All right, let's see. The cat is bends over sort of to make fun of a redneck mechanic, and you could see his backside, half his backside exposed. And I don't think this is an animated movie, right? It's not animated. No, the cat briefly passes through a party where there's dancing, and then he stops and returns to a very shapely young woman wearing a very small top. And that Jean, again, whoever she is, shows more cleavage in a party dress that has a bare back. And then as the climax of the movie, to end the movie, the cat spots a picture of Jean. And I don't even know how to say this on the air. Spots a picture of Jean and opens it out like it's a centerfold and turns it sideways like he's looking at a centerfold. And as he does that, well, there's I'm not going to describe it. But, it's a sexual arousal joke visual. Sexual arousal visual. And then, let's see. And then he's told that the woman he's looking at is the mother of the kids he's with. And so then he controls himself. So that's Dr. Seuss' Cat in the Hat. So what do you think of our decision to blow it off this Thanksgiving movie season? 1-800-8-NYART is our phone number. 1-800-836-9278. You know, there's other kids' movies out, at least one other. I should go to the web right now, in fact. I've got my co-host here, Al the Fourth. He's a notebook computer. Al, what if we go to screenit.com? There's another kids' movie out. Well, I know there's one from, is it Disney, Dr. Bear, Brother Bear? We're not going to see that because in that movie, a bear, I don't know if I got the whole story, but a bear kills somebody and this kid wants to get revenge and go hunt the bear. And so the kid is turned into a bear and he realizes how evil his thoughts were of killing the bear. So we're not going to have our little kids see that because little kids can easily get all messed up. And that's what our culture wants kids to do, to protect animals and kill babies, worship the creation and deny the creator. And it's easy to mess with a kid's mind. Let's go to the phones in Fort Collins, Colorado. John, speak your mind. Hello, John. Are you there, John? All right, let me put John on hold. We'll try one more time. And, hey, John? Nope, no John. All right. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we don't want to see Brother Bear because when you teach kids, especially young kids, that there's something wrong with killing animals, you fundamentally mess up their minds. You mess up their minds. So anyway, let's see here. Looney Tunes. Now, Looney Tunes, I love Looney Tunes. So let's see. That's out. Now, let's look at that. Let's see here. In that movie, here's some of the phrases and scenes in that movie. We've got somebody says butt kissing. Oh, that's great. And it's a pain in the butt. Let's see. I read the other in advance. This one I'm just looking at right now. Dag Nabbit, which, you know, that's a replacement for another phrase. Going to kick your evil butt. You know, our kids, we don't speak like that with our kids. We don't speak like that. And they don't get that. And, of course, they'll get it elsewhere. But we don't want them to get it from their family, from their church, from their normal friends. And we sure don't want them to get it from a family outing when we're going to go to the local AMC theater. You know, I wonder if the theaters realize, because I know that right-wing Christians, we're extremists. I know that compared to the society around us. But, hey, there's at least 10 million of us. If you count all the members of all the homeschool families who get sick and tired of the garbage that Hollywood puts out in the movies, and we don't like to go to the theaters because of the previews that are filthy and the garbage that they put in the kids' movies. So if they had Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat, and they left out the sexual innuendo, you think it would hurt their sales? Would that hurt their sales? What, are they getting a lot of 22-year-old guys going for the sex to see the Cat in the Hat? It wouldn't hurt their sales. They're morons. And it's not all just about money. It's that they really hate godliness. They hate godliness, and they love to put despicable behavior in kids' movies. I'll give you an example. Steven Spielberg, E.T., remember E.T.? One of the neatest movies for kids. In one scene in the movie, two brothers and a sister. A neighbor mother bends over and the kid sexually licks his finger while he's looking at her. That's in E.T. That's an E.T. That's why we won't get E.T. just for that scene, unless we can get it from cleanfilms.com. That's just a great group. Also in this, let's see, what is this movie here? Looney Tunes. They say, screw up. We don't talk like that with our kids. I realize a lot of people might talk like that, but it's just generally behavior, imitative behavior, just lousy. All right, let's try this again. We'll go to the phones in Erie, Colorado. Ron, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Ron.
How you doing?
Doing well. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was calling to comment on what you were talking about, these movies that are out right now.
Yeah.
Cat in the Hat and all that. I was thinking, you know, I think our country has gotten to a point now where it is, it's gotten so bad that, you know, I just feel like that sometimes we just need to let them go as far as the way society is, you know, because, if they reject God, they reject our Lord Jesus,
right?
Then our Lord just says, well, then he'll just give them over to
a reprobate mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're, you know, they're going to go to hell. They're going to hell. They are going to hell.
Because all we can do is, you know, tell them the truth, and if they reject it, then...
Then they reject it.
Then they reject it.
That's right. And, you know, the Bible says that the righteous rejoice when they see the vengeance. And for all the little kids that these people have ruined, when these people are punished, we're going to see the justice of it, that it's so fitting and appropriate. But I still like to take my kids to see a nice movie.
Yeah, I understand. I know. I mean, there's kind of hard to find a good movie out there. You know, you can take your whole family to.
Yeah, and then we wait until the previews are over.
But you're right on making that comment. They don't need to put all that stuff in there, all that sexual innuendo.
Right, and
their sales are not going to be hurt by that.
Well, Michael Medved, you know, he's been a film critic for a couple decades now. He's a national syndicated radio talk show host. He has documented that the G movies and the family movies make far more money per movie than the filth that comes out of Hollywood. Over the decades, including this last decade, the family movies make the most money. So they do it because they really hate righteousness.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They really hate righteousness, and they hate everything that has to do with God.
Well,
they want to reject God completely, yeah, and they want to infest that into the minds of young people today also.
Right, and you know, Hollywood is nothing if it's not liberal. And liberals, especially Carolyn, hate Jesus Christ. They hate Jesus Christ. And so if they have the opportunity, they're going to have 7 million kids watching this movie. And if they could undermine the morality, the innocence, you know, we have 3 little toddlers, ages 2, 4, and 6. I just realized they're all even numbers. They just, 2 of them just had birthdays. 2, 4, and 6. And they're so innocent. But watching TV and getting the filth of the culture, they could easily start saying crude things to one another, rude things to their parents. Now, we try to protect them from that until, you know, when your kids grow up and they're going to get enough of the world without you serving it to them on a silver platter. And when they grow up, they'll be out in the world. But if you've got 5, 8, 10
years. If you brought them up right, then they'll always go back to the Lord, you know, if you bring them up that way.
Well,
no matter what they're exposed to, you know, their focus will always be on our Lord Jesus in their lives and their hearts all the time, even though they experience all kinds of stuff that the world is doing right now.
Well, raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But I don't think that's an absolute promise, but it's a rule of thumb that we could count on from God. And so, yeah, we raise our kids up, and we don't present the filth of the culture to them, but we know they're going to get it. But we don't want them to get it from us.
Right.
So, and the kids who grow up like that are way more healthy and able to deal with the world than the kids who, by the time they're 8 years old, are crude and they're rude to their parents. So,
well, when you see all this happening, or as a believer, when you see all this stuff happening around us, the way that our country is going, and you know, morality is just tanking right now, and it's just another sign, you know, that you know the coming of our Lord Jesus is really, really soon.
I really hope so, Ron. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
God bless you. I appreciate
God
the call. Okay, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So that's Looney Tunes, and then. I wasn't done with Looney Tunes. I was just looking at it as I'm on the air here. But they have the Mona Lisa with her shirt off and a bra. And Kate, whoever Kate is, in a short leather skirt with fishnet stockings. They've got Las Vegas. What do they have here? Can-can dancers, of course, right? And some of that was even back in the 60s and 50s when they were making cartoons. But, of course, it just constantly gets worse. And one guy, his pants fly off when, of course, something double entendre. So, all right. So that's what's going on in the kids' movies. And then, of course, remember Disney's baby movie about a baby dinosaur? Where they had drunkenness, and they had sexuality, and they had nudity, a lot of nudity. In Baby, we aired it with All Censored, of course. Bob Enyard here. Our new catalog has been out for a couple weeks now, and let's see. I want to see if my Friday Night Board Op has seen it. Have you seen our new catalog? Professional, huh? If you haven't got it, give us a call, 1-800-836-9278. We'll be happy to send it out to you. Or you could go online at kgov.com and check out our store. And everything in the catalog, of course, is on the store. And we've got neat materials that you could consider giving as Christmas gifts. Just tonight, Cheryl and I gave a copy of this new video called Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. We gave a copy of that to friends, neighbors, live close by, who we don't know if they're Christians or not, but we know they've had some interest recently in God. And so we took this Unlocking the Mysteries of Life and gave them a copy, shrink-wrapped with a little handwritten post-it note on it saying, hey, this just aired on Channel 6 on PBS here in Denver. It aired around the country. You may have missed it. It's a really interesting program. And so we jumped the gun. We could have waited for Christmas to do that. But it's such a great video. And we've got people calling up, ordering two, ordering five at a time to give for friends for Christmas. And let me tell you, that's what I think. Now, of course, we sell them, so we buy them wholesale. And each one we sell helps Bob and Your Life stay on the air another 1 minute or so. But I'm thinking of taking 10 of them and using them as our Christmas gifts this year. Because the people who see them will love them for the most part. It's extraordinary. Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. We got them in DVD or VHS. You will love it. A video against evolution. Order one. NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So we have Massachusetts Supreme Court this week saying homosexuals have the right to be married. And we have this appearing in newspapers all over the country. The F word is not so bad anymore. The Federal Communication Commission, the FCC, ruled in October that the F word is okay on broadcast and nationwide network broadcast TV in certain contexts, like when the U2 singer, U2 is a group, I guess, U2, singer Bono used it as an adverb to enhance the word brilliant. That was okay, they said. How's that? All right. So, and now I'll take a call, and then I want to get to this article about the Broadway play called The Goat. So, but first, in Aurora, Kirk, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
Doing well, sir.
Hey, can you tell me how Marty's doing?
Marty Nalitz.
Yeah.
KNUS, the very popular KNUS talk show host.
Right.
Who had a four-hour show. And they re-aired it at night for 4 hours. And we thought if they gave Marty one more hour, they'd have to change the call letters to Kmart. That's how much he was on that station.
Okay.
Marty is a Christian friend of mine that I was real close with for years. And now I haven't seen Marty for... wow. I bet you it's 4 years.
I haven't heard anything from him for about the same amount of time.
I've heard indirectly from a couple people during those 4 years that he and his wife, Linda, and their son, Ryan, were doing well. But no, I've just fallen out of touch.
Okay. Well, I have a Bible verse for you that might cover this.
All right, let's do a warning, warning, warning. Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob in Your Life that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you rare notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered.
You almost stumbled on that one.
I did. You know, first time in 12 years.
Okay.
Go ahead.
It's Matthew 7:9.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to read out of the New American Version. It says, or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Now, these days, Hollywood, instead of giving our children the bread of life, gives them the Sorcerer's Stone.
Yeah.
And it's leading us right down a path. And
the Sorcerer's Stone, what is that? That's a movie or a...
Right, right.
That's Harry Potter.
Harry Potter garbage. Yeah. But Christ makes it plain that even the unrighteous know better, and that these people that are putting these movies out are worse than the unrighteous. They're absolutely reprobate.
Well, yeah, well, the goal is by, right, a lot of these movies is to undermine basic innocence, goodness, godliness, morality, and they enjoy it. They enjoy getting kids, the younger the better, to think about sexual things.
And you have to wonder how intentional it is.
Well, it's they're obviously intelligent people, so it is intentional.
I have one last thing to say for you, Bob.
Yeah.
I don't think Michael Jackson's going to buy himself out of this one.
Kirk, I think you're right. Well, you know, they passed that law since 93 in California where a prosecutor can ask the courts to postpone a civil trial. So that helps a bit along those lines. But, yeah, and it should not be allowed that you could buy off a victim or a witness to a crime.
All right, that's paying ransom for freedom, and that's specifically frowned upon in biblical
Yeah,
terms.
That's wrong. Michael Jackson is a homosexual child molester.
Right, and we've known that now for a long time.
Yeah, at least since 91 when he grabbed his crotch, thrusting it at, you know, he's on stage at the Super Bowl, with kids all around him, and he's just grabbing himself.
Right.
I mean, he should have been arrested right then.
Don't you think his mugshot makes him look like Diana Ross?
Well, her, but even more, we had this last night authoritatively from John Mangopoulos, a Lansing, Michigan TV talk show host, that he looks exactly like the woman doctor character in the Planet of the Apes movies. John Mangopoulos put up a picture of Michael Jackson and that Planet of the Apes gal. He did a freeze frame from the Planet of the Apes DVD. And Michael Jackson, and he said, now we're waiting to see a copy of that picture. But on his TV show in Lansing, it's been on the air for 12 years, he said you could not tell the difference. So he's turned himself into a freak. But being a freak is not the problem. It's being evil.
Right.
And a homosexual predator.
And what kind of parent in their right mind would let their child even come close to where he lives?
Well, liberal parents who recoil from moral clarity. You know, most Americans don't really like moral clarity.
I mean, most parents, the vast majority, if it was my children, they were my children, and I knew of this kind of a past history with this kind of a person, I would not even entertain.
Well, of course. Of course. But, Kirk, that's if most people were like you. But most Americans would be thrilled to have their kids hang out with Michael Jackson.
So when are we going to have the public hanging?
The sooner the better.
Yeah, really?
Thank you, sir.
Save a lot of kids.
Yeah. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Appreciate the call. 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And, you know what a racist is? A racist is anyone winning an argument with a liberal. And so in America, it's been against the rules to criticize someone who's black, unless it's a black Christian or a black conservative. Then they get excoriated by the media, the liberals, the universities. But you can never say anything against a black person. If you did, you were a racist. But now, thankfully, it's open season on Michael Jackson because he's now a white person. So it's fine. You don't need to worry. You could say Michael Jackson is a homosexual child molester and not be accused of being a racist. Of course, you might be accused of being a sexist because because some would argue that he's no longer a man, he's now a woman. In which case, then you know how they say, some people say that they're lesbians trapped in a man's body and heterosexual, you know, all these confused variations. It used to be there were two genders. Now, if you could get all the genders in 10, you're doing well. Right? You have a male and a female. Then you have a transsexual, a male transsexual, and a female transsexual. And then you have a male transvestite and a female transvestite. Of course, you have hermaphrodites. I know that gets a wince from some people. And then you have a lesbian trapped in a man's body and a homosexual trapped in a woman's body. You have those. And you have other variations. But if you can get them all within 10, you're doing pretty well. One of the problems with homosexuality is that there's no longer a social setting that can be free from sexual tension. That's what's great about God making us sexual creatures, that sexuality is an important part of our lives, but yet we can have social settings that have absolutely no sexual tension, like men getting together to play racquetball and talking in the hot tub at the rec center and talking about jobs and whatever and life, and no sexual tension. But now you introduce homosexuality, and there's a guy in the locker room who's interested in a young guy's in the locker room, and he follows him into the shower. I mean, what's with that? What's with that? That's sick. That's absolutely perverted, filthy, sick. And so now, where do you go to have in social settings where we've lost that innocence of being able for women to get together, just the girls to get together and hang out and no sexual tension? And now they're hanging out. They have a glass of wine with dinner. They go over to somebody's house. One by one, they leave. And the last one there is trying to hit on the woman she's in her living room. And how many restrooms do you need? We used to have men's room and ladies' room. That was sufficient. Now what? If you have a lesbian trapped in a man's body, does he use the ladies' room? What does he use? You have a man who had an operation, and now he wants to go into the ladies' room. He's been working at a business for 10 years using the men's room. Then he goes to take some hormone shots, and whether he has or doesn't have the operation, now he wants to go in with the ladies' room? Homos are sick. There, I said it. Hi, this is Bob Benyart with a live commercial break. I feel so much better. I've come out of the closet. I'm homophobic. There it is. Hey, you can get that, in fact. If you order anything from Bob Benyart Live, you can ask for one of our pamphlets, articles, and one of them is called Coming Out of the Closet, and it's really funny. You can order an article pack for $9.95 from us and get that also, along with a bunch of our other really neat articles on miracles and judging and the attack on America, Christian response, nicer than God, overpopulation. We've got some really neat articles. Okay, and what else? From Bob Benyart Live, you could subscribe to our monthly services, like our monthly Bible study albums for $34.95 a month. Once a month, in the middle of the month, you get in the mail, the U.S. Postal Service will deliver to you a Bible study album from us, and it's on audio tapes, and you could study through the Bible with us. It's so much fun. Some people have been doing this for 5 years now, 6 years since we started. And it's really neat to study the Bible together. Everything we have is money-back guarantee. We have the monthly videos for $24.95 a month. You could get one video mailed to you every month, and we'll mail you this Unlocking the Mysteries of Life. If you sign up for that monthly videos, you'll get that as one of your first videos. And what else? We have the monthly sermons, the Sunday sermons, and the monthly Best of Bob for $49.95. In fact, somebody just signed up for that from Indiana. Her name is, I won't give out her name, but she said, I called in recently. If I sign up for the Best of Bob, will my call be on one of the shows? So we looked it up, and she is. She's on one of the Best of Bobs. So anyway, that's the eight best shows of the month mailed to you or a friend, you or a friend. So give us a call, check out our materials, or online at kgov.com. NYART, that's 1-800-836-9278. So what happens with liberals who hate Jesus Christ is they say, don't tell us what to do. God sets up boundaries of right and wrong. And they knock down those boundaries, or so they think. They have to pay the consequences. But so, like, look at the whole abortion thing. What is the debate? It's pro-choice versus pro-life. Pro-life is don't kill innocent children. Pro-choice is don't tell me what to do. That's the fundamental difference. Pro-life is don't kill innocent babies. Pro-choice is don't tell me what to do. So they knock down that boundary. Same thing with sex. God created us. He knows that sex is a wonderful thing. He made it. It's great. Lovers live longer. Married people have the happiest, most fulfilling sex lives. That's by all the polls ever taken. And so we know you do it God's way and it works and you're happy and it's his way. It's the right way. It's the good way. It's the fun way. But liberals say, don't tell me what to do, and they want to have sex outside of marriage. So they knock down that boundary. So then once that's, so now fornication is okay. You don't have to be married to have sex. So everybody's cool with that. So now they're fornicating and they're not happy because they're not knocking down any boundary. So then they got to knock down another boundary. And they say, well, big deal. I could have sex whether I'm married or not, but I want to have sex with the opposite, with the same sex. I want to be a homo. So once society tolerates fornication, sex outside of marriage, then it begins to tolerate homosexuality. And so when homosexuality is tolerated, then it's no longer rebellious. You're not knocking down any boundary to be a homo or a FOMO, a female homo. And so then what boundary? Well, then you have the boundary of young children, and the younger, the better as far as those who hate God. And so in America, we are following the movement in Europe, catching up to them, legalizing sex with children, especially homosexual sex, younger and younger, and the court challenges to the age of consent laws so that kids can agree to have sex with adults, right? And the NAMBLA, North American Man Boy Love Association, and so on. And then also, don't tell me what to do. If I want to have sex with animals, I should be able to do it. So I've got friends. A couple women were on the zoning commission for Douglas County. And they were friends of this show. In fact, when I was on a station, a broadcast station in Denver, and they were going to build a new facility in Douglas County. And they knew my show was so controversial, they didn't want the county commissioners to know it was the station that my show was on, because they thought there might be a move against the station building in that county because of my little old Bob in Your Life show. So they tried to hush it up. They used a corporate name when they applied for the permits and all. And it turns out we got a call from the zoning commission when they found out that our station was building a studio in their county, and they said, we want to let you know, this is the zoning committee members. We want to let you know we love, they called the station. So we love Bob Benyart Live, and we're so thrilled you're building in our county. That was such a fun, rewarding story. And so at any rate, they told me the story. They said what the county was going to get all new zoning, just standardize it nationwide. Standardized zoning, that makes sense, right? And so they're just supposed to rubber stamp, and the city attorney, the county attorney said, look, this is just standard. You just rubber stamp this. You don't have to read it. It's 300 pages, whatever it is, just to prove it. And these Christian women, they said, no, we're going to read it. And they're reading through in the zoning, standardized zoning in America, part of the template, the boilerplate, is they legalize sexual entertainment of all types, including specifically depicting sex acts with animals. That's in the nationwide standardized zoning code that the county lawyer said, oh, you just rubber stamped this. This is boilerplate. Everybody does this. So thanks to those women there, they struck that from the boilerplate. But here I have this play, this article from the Indianapolis Star that was mailed to me by one of our, not email, this is an actual article here, emailed by one of our listeners there in Indiana about this Tony-winning play called The Goat. And you should hear what the actors and actresses are saying about, in this play, a married man, they have a homosexual son, of course, and the married man ends up having an affair, a sexual affair with the goat. And the actress who plays the wife, she says, now this is in an interview with the Indianapolis Star, which is the biggest newspaper in Indiana. She says, bestiality, that's sex with animals, doesn't horrify me as much as I suspect it should. I have a high tolerance of what some might call alternative behavior. We're all animals. To say we're too good to fall in love with another animal, I don't know about that. Butchering animals in the slaughterhouses is no big deal for most people, but taking them out to dinner and performing sexual acts on them is a big deal. We kill animals, but we can't love them, she asked. And this, you think this is just some extremist fringe play? This play was written by Edward Albee. He is a 3-time Pulitzer Prize winner. 3-time. And he's won 2 Tony Awards. And the second Tony was for this play. And I was saying this back 12 years ago on the air that we're moving toward legitimizing sex with younger and younger children, sex with animals, because once you, abortion is okay, and fornication is okay, and pornography is okay, which, by the way, all the major Christian ministries in the country think pornography should be legal, to their shame. Then, of course, where does it end? When you get rid of God's boundary, where does it end? Let's go to the, no? All right. 1-800-8-N-YARDS. That's 1-800-836-9278. In Aurora, Colorado, Ronnie, speak your mind.
Yeah, I just had a verse I wanted to read, if that's okay.
Please do.
Part of a chapter.
All right, Ronnie, you're breaking up, but tell us, where's the verse?
Start at chapter 18.
Of what book?
Romans.
Okay,
Romans chapter 1.
Romans 1:18. Please read it.
Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That says it all right there.
It sure does. Excellent passage. That's Romans chapter 1. Now, who wrote Romans? Romans was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians who lived in Rome, the capital city of the Roman Empire, which was a pretty evil city.
And that's pretty much where our country's headed right now.
Yeah, we're pretty much there, I'd say.
So, I mean, it's people who say, well, homosexuality, you know, they say, well, we tell them that it's an abomination of God, and they say, well, that was the old law. Every time they say that, I always come back with that verse right there, because that's in the New Testament. That's our Lord Jesus speaking right there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And his spirit speaking through Paul, of course.
Yeah, Paul spoke about homosexuals in a few books to the Corinthians in chapter 6. He wrote that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And he said, don't be deceived. And then he lists adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites will inherit the kingdom of God. Homosexuals, sodomites. Now that word, they've got homosexual there and sodomite. I think it's a sodomite and effeminate in the Greek if we looked. And then also he wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is a fascinating theological passage, but he said that the law is good, the law of God, is good if one uses it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless, for the ungodly, for murderers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for perjurers. Yeah, and then you... Ronnie, you mentioned in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, in Leviticus 20, God says, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. And then,
but some people would say, well, they'll come back with that, and they'll say, well, Christ is all about loving, you know, he was all about love and forgiveness, and they're saying that was under the old law. And I'm like, that's not true, because... It says it right there in Romans chapter 1, verse 18.
That they're worthy of death.
Yeah, they're worthy of death.
And not only that, it's not the Old Testament that tells us that the wicked are going to burn in hell forever. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one person who gave the world the very specific teaching of eternal torment in hellfire. That comes from Jesus Christ, not from the mean old God of the Old Testament.
No, because the Trinity, they're all one and the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
I have one more point to make on that. It's how can the Episcopalian Church approve a gay bishop? I mean, what do they just skip Romans chapter 1?
Well,
verse 18, they just skip over that and say, well, that doesn't apply.
Yeah, the many of their churches are no longer Christian. Right?
But are they?
Jesus said, many will come in my name and will deceive many. So they're no longer Christian. Hey, thank you, Ronnie. God bless you.
All right, thanks.
This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.